20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Wednesday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm Steve Perhatch, joined as always by Dusty Evely and Sarah Kelleher. The Green Bay Packers are 4-0. Guys, how's everybody feeling?
Terrific.
Never better.
I'm honestly so happy. I don't have words. 4-0, going into the bye week. This weekend we can just chill and be happy that the Packers are amazing. So I'm feeling great.
Yeah, it was just a lot of fun to watch the Packers without Devontae Adams, without Alan Lazard. The offense was clicking. Didn't put up anything close to a 40 burger, but man, 30 points without your top two wide receivers. It was a hell of a performance from them. And the defense played really well too, which I thought was an even bigger takeaway. But Sarah, let's start with you. You obviously write the game recap for Cheesehead TV. So why don't you tell us some of the big takeaways from Twitter land and what you saw in the game?
Yeah. So I'll just run through, the quick summary of my article, basically what we learned. We have all the offensive weapons we really need. And, there might be players that, yes, they could have drafted, or yes, they could have pursued a little harder in free agency. But clearly for the offense that Matt LaFleur has put together, he has the pieces that he needs on this team right now. So that was something some of us already knew, but I think everybody learned last night, even from a national media perspective. I don't think a lot of people thought are the Packers this good without Devontae Adams? Are they this good without Lazard? And now both of them, and then here they go. They just, even though it was 30 points instead of 40, they were still firing on all cylinders. I mean, Rodgers was insane. Again, the game plan itself was just beautiful. So really exciting stuff there. Something that I wrote about that I thought went right was getting Jones and Williams really involved in the passing game. I know Jamal Williams had a career high night for receiving yards, and Rodgers was really complimentary of him on Pat McAfee's show about that, and how he was able to go up and catch it in a bunch of different coverages. What went wrong was clearly the injuries. Just, we already went into this game pretty beat up, and then just to see more guys get beat up. And I know we're going to talk a little bit about DeGuara in a few minutes, but that was tough to see. Chandon Sullivan left the game with a concussion, but he did tweet out after that he'll be back, and thanks for the well wishes. Big Bob Tonyan was offensive MVP. I mean, that was just a spectacular performance by him. And then defensive MVPs went to Za'Darius Smith and Jaire Alexander. I mean, Jaire literally locked down Calvin Ridley. He was targeted 5 times and had absolutely no catches. So that was huge. And then Za'Darius, I mean, he was a little quiet the first few weeks, but I think he really just woke up and was really present in the game on Monday, 3 sacks, and he was just phenomenal. So that was pretty much the roundup of what the game was and what were the big takeaways.
Dusty, what'd you see from the Packers offense?
Yeah, I mean, Sarah covered a lot of it. I'll give this a plug. If you're not reading Sarah's post game over at Cheesehead, you're missing out, because she does just an absolutely tremendous job. Good job,
and
Sarah.
She included my tweet too this week.
She did. I feel like that was like begrudgingly, but she still included it, which I enjoyed.
May have berated her a little bit in DMs, but
part of me was like, if I include it and then just, hear from Steve about it, should I check and see if he's reading all the way to the very end? And then sure enough, he was. So
Yeah. You kill it every week, Sarah. Doing a great job. So, Tonyan was great. I think, that was the big thing was, I think the defense for me was the huge takeaway, as Sarah kind of said, because you come into this game and you think, if you'd have told me, I know 30 is a pretty good amount of points. That's a good amount of points. If you told me the Packers scored 30, I would assume they would have lost this game just based on, we know Julio left early. I know he didn't come out at the half, but, Ridley had been tearing it up, and Julio and their running game had been looking good. The Falcons had, and Packers had issues with that. And so I just kind of thought the Packers are going to have to put up a lot of points to win. And, they put up 30, but I thought they're going to have to put up more than that. So the fact that the defense, like I said, shut down Calvin Ridley, held the running game in check. Just did a tremendous job. Seeing Z come to life was amazing. And then just seeing, you're starting to see now some of these these little wrinkles. And I mean, I've not gone totally through all the passing stuff yet, but one of the ones I did do was, I think it was the first completion of Tanyan, was a kind of, they ran, I talked about this last week, they ran that PA bootleg, the play action bootleg, five or six times last week, basically always the same. Some of the routes on the back end were a little different, but always the same, that kind of roll out the full boot. And then you've got the levels to that side. Well, this week they kind of had something that looked like that, that first completion of Tanyan, where Rodgers kind of starts, but he has a half boot and he plants, and Tanyan sneaks back across the backside. And the defense, having seen this 1,000 times, is all flowing, and that play action draws them up. And so just they're doing a really good job now of, you're starting to see some of the counters. And we talked, I mean, last season, I feel like at the same point was the same thing, but this season's a little more so. So you're starting to see some of those wrinkles showing up, some of those counters to their core concept. So that was a lot of fun. I've not gone through it yet, but it reinforces what we kind of knew. I mean, even without Davante Adams, with Jones, who knows if he was injured or something, but gone for a couple series at a time, Matt LaFleur is really, really good. Like Sarah said, they've got injuries, but he puts his guys just through the concepts or just through their skill set in such a great job to succeed. And I know the Falcons defense isn't good, but he's absolutely been killing it all season, and that continued against the Falcons. Just a really, really fun game.
Yeah, I thought even ESPN kind of broke the ABC broke it down, that fourth down play that went to Malik Taylor, mm-hmm. that stack formation that all of a sudden, normally what his route would have been that slant route, and all of a sudden he breaks it off, comes back, and is just wide open. And then they pointed out there was two other dudes that were even more wide open than him, yeah. which was just outstanding. So I mean, yeah, it's kind of fun to be able to see those things in that Packers offense. And you know, year two, everybody's a little bit more bought in, understanding of the concepts, and man, they're flying right now. So a lot of fun to watch. Let's see, news and notes coming into week five of the NFL season. Unfortunately, there's some bad news for the Packers, losing tight end / fullback / what, H-back / I don't know, multi-tool, whatever you call him. Josiah DeGuara is on the IR with an ACL tear, which means his season is over. Dusty, are you okay?
I'm not.
No.
I'm really not. I mean, he showed out in week one, man. And when he came back for this game, it was like, oh, and you didn't see him very much. That's what sucks. He wasn't even in very much. But that was kind of I loved what he showed week one. And man, if he can continue this, I mean, even like for a rookie, that'd be incredible. I know I said when they drafted him, like, you know, third round, but this could be the piece that helps unlock the LaFleur offense. So I was really excited to see him, especially after that first week. They clearly had big plans for him. And I was upset when he got injured, and I saw that news came through today. And it's been, I'm going to be honest with you, it's not been great since I saw the news. Not been great. It's I feel like he was a big piece of what they want to do. So it sucks that he's out the rest of the year.
Yeah, it does. More news from the Packers. They have waived Reggie Bagleton from the active roster. I'm assuming those, seeing how that works, but trying to get him back on the practice squad. They have also waived linebacker Curtis Bolton from the PUP list and released Caleb Scott, the wide receiver, from the practice squad. So kind of numbers all counting up, it looks like the Packers are sitting at 50 out of 53 on out of their 53-man roster. And the bigger news is the Packers have a big-time free agent coming in to visit. When you are listening to this, that would be today. Snacks Harrison came from Seattle on Tuesday and is now visiting with Green Bay today. You know, guys, what do you think? How big of an addition would this be, Sarah?
I'm all for it. I mean, if this happens, this was something I know we talked about a few weeks ago, because Snacks tweeted like, oh, I talked with the Packers, and then everybody lost their freaking minds about it. Everyone started tweeting at him. But I mean, if they can get this guy, that would be really great. And I think that would give the defense a little extra spark, which would be fantastic. I know Bakhtiari just found out today that they're bringing him in. And he said, I didn't even know he was coming in for the workout. He's a good player. He went on and on and said he's very smart, very instinctive, and he's just garnered all the accolades that he deserves. And he's really earned that. And he said it would be very exciting to see if we do get him. It would definitely help build depth, and definitely a big man in the middle for our team. So I think he said it best. All those things are true. And if they can get him, that'll be a great addition to the team.
Yeah. I mean, We talked last season, or you know, I guess before the season, we're looking at the schedule that the early bye kind of sucked, and you never like having a week five bye. If you know they had so many injuries, man. If they come out of this week five bye, not only with Kenny Clark healthy and hopefully Rashawn Gary healthy and Davante Adams healthy, but also potentially Snacks Harrison, that would be huge. So yeah, it's I'm not getting my hopes up because I know he's got visits. I think after the Seahawks and the Packers, I think he's got meetings with at least one other team, if not Eagles or something, maybe. I can't remember. I feel like he has another meeting, so I'm not getting my hopes up. But man, that would be just. I mean, he's. You know, even as like a one or two down defender, like he's basically a run guy. He's a tremendous run guy. Just a huge boon to that line. That'd be amazing.
Real quick, not to backtrack, but hot off the Twitter press about 2 minutes ago, DeGuara just tweeted, "Appreciate all the love and support you all have poured out during this time. God has a plan through it all, and I will come back from this better than before. Go Pack, go cheese emoji." So love him, sending him the best.
Love him.
Yep. Can't wait to see him back.
Yep, definitely sucks, but hopefully he'll be back ready to go next year. I mean, I have plenty of time to fully get into that playbook and even understand it even better, and be ready to go next year. Big news coming out. It looks like for the foreseeable future, there are not going to be any fans at Lambeau Field. If you haven't seen, Wisconsin is quite the hotbed for COVID. So it is the ever-growing thing of wear a mask if you want to go watch Packers games. I mean, it's as pretty much as simple as that. You want to get out, you want to see the Packers in person, like, well, you got to get this under control, because right now it's raging out of control in Green Bay. The Appleton area is like one of the top COVID outbreaks in the country, so not great. And I've seen many, many people tweeting, stay the F away from Lambeau Field. I will definitely vouch for that as well. So let's see. It's Tuesday, so that means Rodgers is on the Pat McAfee show. Had a couple of fun little quotable things. Dusty, were you able to check it out today?
I wasn't, man. It's been an insane day. I saw the one clip I know everyone was talking about that was the a down year for me is a career year for most quarterbacks, which, I mean, correct. That's pretty much correct.
So that basically, he's basically like Elmo in the GIF world with the fire right behind him.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, Sarah, I don't know if you got a chance to catch any more, but that was, even though I didn't get a chance to watch, you know, this entire episode, it's been fun. As we talked about every week, like just seeing his personality, seeing his sense of humor come out, it's been amazing. So, that was a fun clip, if nothing else.
No, it was great. And another, you know, little moment in that interview that I really liked was he talked about Davante Adams and his tweet before the game on Monday about how, oh, I guess, you know, somebody else knows my body better than I do. And Rodgers was like, I wish he would have left it up. He shouldn't have felt the pressure to take it. He should have left it up. And then he kind of laughed. He said, no, I can't speak for him, but I love Davante. And I'm just like, this is a new Rodgers, really. Just he's so open and relaxed with it all. And it was just cool to see that.
Yeah, I think my biggest takeaway from watching the whole thing is I don't know if I haven't watched it in full, obviously, but I don't know from all the clips. I've never seen AJ Hawk talk. And the only thing he does is smoke cigars and like laugh and smile, which I mean, if you're getting paid to do that, that's just an outstanding gig for AJ Hawk. But yeah, it was, he put out some fun stuff out into the world, today, which was, everything you want from Aaron Rodgers. I mean, even one of my best friends, he sent me a message. He's like, did you see what Rodgers said today? And he's not a huge like football fan. And I was like, yeah, I did. And he goes, man, is he like, you know, tempting the football gods or whatever? How can he say that? And I was like, because he can. That's exactly why he can say it.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers can say whatever he can say whatever he wants to say, especially if it's straight truth.
So that one was a lot of fun. All right, Packers 4-0 going into the bye week. So we do not have the Packers offense to preview this week. So we wanted to do a mailbag. Actually, before we even get into that, we did have the prop bet from the Falcons game. We had the over-under for points scored at 37.5. All three of us took the over, which did not happen, sadly. But I almost canceled it out like during the week and sent you guys messages just because without we had made that bet almost assuming that Devontae was actually going to play. So I kind of thought that threw a huge influence onto it. And, you know, a better fourth and one play call, they're sitting right at 37. So, mm-hmm. you know, it is what it is. But technically right now, Dusty, you and I are both sitting at 2-2. Sarah's at 1-3. And we are going to take the week off because the Packers aren't playing. So no prop bet this week. And hopefully we will be able to come up with a, you know, bet slash punishment by that should be our goal by next week six when we're doing the next one. That should be our goal, is to actually have the bet set up. Is that cool?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I would say not to step on anything here, but I assume we're all in agreement that if anyone has suggestions, please throw them our way. There's no guarantees we are going to do this. Whatever is suggested, we may not do. But if you have anything, let us know, and that makes
crowdsourcing the I like it. Yeah, we'll have to put that out. We'll have to put that on Twitter tonight. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. I'll throw that out there.
What, my 800 followers isn't enough for your?
Listen, we all do it, and then we'll collect, Steve. We'll be fine. Everything will be fine. We'll get a one somewhere.
What was, before we even go on, was there ever, like, what was the final poll results from, like, who's the best fan? I'm assuming it was you.
It was me by a landslide, which I'm throwing those results out because, I mean, you kind of called this, Steve. You were like, well, they're your followers. They're going to back you up. And my response was, I lost horribly in the second banana thing, and I put out that poll. So, yeah, I won that, but I'm throwing out the results.
Okay. Both polls? Because, Steve, you put a poll out too, right?
No, I think I just retweeted Dusty's.
Oh, okay.
I'll pull up the things. I think I was like 70%.
I was going to say, I'm pretty positive it was a landslide.
Yeah.
I was in second place is all I remember. And I'm like, I'll take it because Steve tried to disqualify me for my age right away. So I'll take it.
You know what? I concede my crown to Sarah. Sarah wins.
Ah, this is crap. Okay, so what we wanted to do, since we're in the bye week, we don't have the preview of a Packers offense versus whoever there's playing defense. We did the mailbag, and you guys always deliver for us. So actually, what we're going to do is start with one that Sarah got DM'd to her actually last week. So where did that go? Okay, so the first question is from Rogers Revenge Tour. Man, Corey, Go Pack Go, that is an outstanding name. Rogers Revenge Tour. Okay, his question is, if you guys could attend a Packers game away against a divisional opponent, what team would you choose? So you're either at the Lions, Bears, or Vikings. Sarah, who are you thinking?
I think I'm going to go with the Vikings. Only because, or for a couple reasons, I guess. I think they have the nicest stadium. Even though I hate when the Packers play there, I do have to admit it is a nice stadium. And then also, just because I dislike their fan base the most out of everyone else, and I would like want to be that one annoying person in the Green Bay jersey that's just obnoxiously screaming when we're beating up on them. So I'm going to go with the Vikings for those two reasons.
I'm really tempted to go Detroit and then time that up with a Tigers game. Because those fields are really close together, because I'm a big Tigers fan, and then go to a Lions game and then like walk the two blocks over to catch the Tigers or something. But if I'm thinking Packers independently, I think it's got to be the Bears, man. I think it's got to be a late season Bears game for me because it's cold. I mean, that's it. Well, you know, oldest rivalry in football. I've never been up there. I mean, I've been to Chicago, but I've never been up to that stadium at all. So I think just the atmosphere there, especially in a late season game, if both teams are in it. And even if they're not, this cold weather outdoors is just something a little different about that. So I'd go Chicago, preferably late in the season.
I just going to tell you, I would advise against that. I went to a game when I lived in Chicago for like 6 years. One of my buddies got tickets through work, and it was a Bears-Lions game.
Okay.
And I went there, and I'm like, I'll go. It's like, you know, it's a professional football game. I'll go see it. And he got them for free. So I'm like, yeah, definitely down to do that. And like, well, I can't wear Packers gear because, you know, we don't want to do, like, I can't do that.
Sure, yeah.
You don't want to be that guy. Yeah. And then there was one Lions fan there that I saw, and he ended up getting kicked out. Like, the fans were so unbelievably abusive, like, verbally. Like, I saw some things being thrown. Like, it was, and then walking the tunnel, like, from the stadium back over to, like, where they have buses and trains and all this kind of stuff. Like, dude, it was,
yeah,
it was not, okay. It was not a good sign.
Okay. Miss me with that noise. Give me the Lions because Lions fans are kind of sad. I'll take the Lions and I'll double that up with the Tigers game. I'm going to go back to my original answer. That's a good thought, Steve. I did not know that the Bears fans were like that.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, every fan base has those morons for sure. I mean, even there's Packers fans out there that are idiots that won't want to fight. But yeah, sure. It was one of those kind of situations. It was like, wow, this is not what I was quite expecting. I would say probably for me, the Vikings, I would want to go see. I want to see that stadium. It would be, you know, a toss up between Vikings, Lions. And I mean, as much as you hate the Vikings, that stadium looks awesome. And I would love to go check the inside of it out. And I think it'd be a great place to watch a game. So we'll do that. And then he follows it up with a question, a food question. He wants to know, what is your favorite donut variety? We weren't exactly sure. So we just said, what's your favorite donut? So, Dusty, do you have one?
I do. There's a local donut place here that does some different donut flavors and stuff. So it's actually a toss-up between there. They've got a maple bacon donut that is just absolutely tremendous. But I'm going to go with, they have a Samoa donut. So it's like the Girl Scout Samoa cookie, but in donut form. And it's just to die for. They don't have it all the time. It's a specialty donut. So like once a month, maybe. You got to track them. I follow them on Instagram. I make sure I know the day they have it, and then I make sure to go there. It's like 2 minutes from my office. So, you know, the when I was in the office, low those apparently 15 years ago from the feels of things, I would actually walk down there, but I've not been up there for a while. But I track them, and when they do have Samoa, I try to get up there. But just a tremendous donut, man, tremendous.
My favorite is pretty simple. I like chocolate frosted with sprinkles. That has always been my favorite since I was a kid. And now, obviously I'm not super picky about, you know, where I will get my donut from, but you know, here we have Dunkin' Donuts everywhere. So that's just usually where I get them from.
Okay. And, around here there is a like pretty well-known, place in my hometown, Wauwatosa. It is called Cranky Al's, and they do breakfast stuff all the time. And they legitimately have a Reese's Pieces covered donut. It's dope. Like, you get a little bit of the crunchy, to go with the donut and everything. Like, I'm very simple when it comes to donuts. Normally, like, my go-to is just a vanilla Long John, and that's plain and simple. And but you know, you throw Reese's Pieces or Reese's peanut butter cups on anything, and it's automatically better. So I love that one. And then before we even go to the next question, I talked to Sarah beforehand, but Dusty, where do you stand, pro or against the like a filling in a donut?
It depends on the filling for me. I used to be big into like the cream filling, and I'm really not anymore. So like, I'll go to bat for some, you know, raspberry or blackberry filled. That same donut place does a Nutella filled that is, great. I feel like I have to be in the right mood, because unless I order it, you know, if someone else has it and there's just like a box of donuts, I don't know what's in it, I'm not going to touch it, because it's a grenade, man. I have no idea what's inside of there. So I will order them on occasion, but I have to know what's in it, or else all bets are off, man.
Interesting. Nutella. I've never heard of that. Like, stuffed in a donut.
Yeah. It's surprisingly good.
Yeah, I feel like that would be better than cream or jelly, but
that's really good.
I'm not like
a, go ahead, sir.
I was just gonna say, I'm not like a huge, you know, cream or jelly person. Like, I would not pick it if I was looking at a menu of donuts and was like, that's what I want. But I was telling Steve before this, like, there's been times where there's been like a dozen, you know, like at work or something, and I'll pick one up, obviously pre-coronavirus days. And I like bite into it. I'm like, oh, it's filled. Like, not my favorite, but I've already committed to it. So whatever.
I'm just going to keep this at my desk and then throw it away quietly in 15 minutes.
I'm like, please just taste better.
Also, fun fact for those people who do enjoy Nutella. If you do a cup of Nutella and then a cup and a half, I believe, of almond milk and mix it together, you can make awesome homemade fudgesicles.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good note, Steve.
They're outstanding. So you obviously need your own popsicle molds, but my kids and my, like, they're awesome. We pretty much keep the freezer stocked with them all summer long. So, all right, next question we've got from Mr. Kyoto. He wants to know, we've got in week one, Adams had his career high of 14 receptions. Week two, Jones had a career high of 168 rushing yards. Week three, Lazard with a career high 146 receiving yards. Week four, Tanyan had a career high 3 touchdowns. Week six, who has a career high? Sarah, what are you thinking?
So I know Jamal Williams had a career high this past week, too, with receiving yards. But I think week six, he could have a career high in rushing yards. I think they're starting to use him a lot more. There's potential. There's been a couple times where I'm like, ooh, he almost broke through. And if he did, he would have been gone. So I know his career record right now is 113 rushing yards. So I feel like he could hit 120. I'm going to go with Jamal.
Man, Sarah, I actually had I was having Jamal Williams touchdowns, but it was kind of a cheat because he'd only ever had his highest career was one touchdown. He's never scored more than one touchdown in a game. Now, so I was gonna go Jamal Williams touchdowns.
That does seem like cheating.
It does seem like cheating. And so on the fly, let me readjust here. You know what? I'm gonna go MVS touchdowns. And that's another not quite a cheat because he's only had 5 touchdown catches in a career. He's never had more than one in a game. I'm going to go MVS touchdown catches. I feel like against the Bucks have a pretty good pass defense, or according to DVOA this year, pretty decent pass defense there. So I think they're going to have to take some shots, or I think they will take some shots, especially given off, they're coming off the bye. They just had a game where they went very heavy to running backs and tight ends, and now you've got Devontae Adams back in. I feel like MVS could have a pretty decent game there, and it could be, Four catches, 125 yards, 2 touchdowns. So I'm like, I'll go throw something to my guy. I'm going to go MVS career touchdowns. He scores at least 2 in the Bucs game, I'll give him.
Okay. I'm going to go a little outside the box, and I'm just going to take Tyler Irvin. And I think he's going to get – it's going to be like combined yardage, rushing yards, whatever. Like, I feel like – it's so close for him. It's so close. Like he caught that screen, that bubble screen, and was just so close to actually breaking it out for that touchdown. Like he had one, if he can make one guy miss, he's gone. And I think this will be the week that he actually does it. It will be against the Bucs, and he's going to go for, a 75-yard touchdown. And he's going to be the breakout player of the game. So I think that one would be pretty cool. I think he's somebody that they want to use like 4 or 5 different times a game. And if he can finally get that one to hit, like, it's going to be a home run. So I would say that will be my guess. Next question we've got from Cole Pope. Don't worry, guys. You don't have to answer it here. I've got it for you. He wants to know, do you have confidence that this team can make it to the Super Bowl? Oh, crap. I can't swear. You're goddamn right. We do have confidence that this team can make the Super Bowl. Oh, the way that the team
proceeds to swear anyway. So.
No, that's not swearing. Is that swearing?
Yes.
No. Swearing, that has to be like, there has to be an S or an F bomb. That's got to be it. But
Okay. All right, buddy.
There's no slide whistle needed for that.
Okay. All right, man.
Plus, Dusty's not editing tonight, that's so there's definitely not going to be a slide whistle.
There's nothing I can do about it this week.
Oh, man, Dusty has no control tonight. I love this. But, yeah, absolutely. I think we're all completely in agreement that this team continually playing the way that they do right now, they're probably right there with Seattle as the best team in the NFC. And then you go against the Chiefs and the Ravens are probably the best team in the AFC. But, get into the playoffs and go from there. But man, they've if they can keep the offense churning the way it is and add Snacks Harrison, get Kenny Clark back healthy, man, it's going to be some good news for the Packers, I think. Dusty, this one is straight up your alley. We have from Kevin Cushing. What new wrinkle do the Packers show after the bye week? I'm sorry, Sarah. Would you like to answer that question first?
I will let Dusty go.
The biggest wrinkle is having a healthy Davante Adams. There you go. No, I mean, it's been really interesting. And I mean, you know, I'm not the only one to say this. Everyone who's watched the game has said this, but you know, the floor's just been tremendous this season. And the different game, I've talked about this last week. I know the different game plans for different weeks and this week, especially based on who he has, you know, missing Davante and kind of putting together that game plan that featured some different guys and schemed up things. I mean, he's tremendous. And he's, like I said, he's already started to show some of those counters. So, I mean, they've set up, it's kind of fun. We're almost going back into another set of the cycle here. He set up the PA bootleg, and then they ran counter to that. I think we're bound to see at least one of the things I've not seen yet. That's a staple of that McVay offense that we've seen out of the floor last year. And, you know, multiple times, you got to establish that play action bootleg first, because you're rolling the action whichever way the boot is, you know, right or left, whichever way that is. And then you got the levels going with that. We saw that, like I said, we saw a little bit of that this past week where he kind of does that half boot and then throw back to Tanyan over the middle. What we've not seen yet is kind of a deeper shot. And I think one of the reasons, and I feel like this week would have been the week, but Davante being injured kind of kills that a little bit. You get that kind of away from the bootleg side, you get the deeper level guy, normally between 15 and 20 yards deep, runs a crosser across the field, a parallel and kind of following the bootleg. And what Davante does so good, I don't know if you guys know this, Davante Adams real good at route running. So what he'll do is he'll run that and then Rodgers, so you get the defense off flowing to the boot, Rodgers will pull up like he did this past week against Tanyan. At that same time, Davante will just absolutely just put on the brakes and hit the opposite side, and then Rodgers floats it back over backside. So you need someone who has the ability to kind of run that kind of post-corner route while selling that crosser, and then Rodgers can hit him over the side. I think we're going to see that. We're either going to see that or we're going to see more of the leak concept, which is the same basic idea where we get like a tight end blocking down, which we saw a little bit out of Tanyan this past week, a counter to the boot, and then leaking out the other side for a wheel up the backside. So one of those two things off a play action bootleg, we're going to see. Week six sounds right, given how much they've been running that play action bootleg. So I think we're going to see that. I think those are the two big things for me. And I said it's kind of coming back in a circle. I think one of the other things we're going to see week one, I know we talked about a ton of that jet sweep stuff, man. They tossed the jet sweep toss, I think probably five or six times. I don't know if they've tossed it since then. So at some point, you know, you got to show you're willing to throw that in order to get defenses to respect that. And they're still doing that to some extent. You're still running jet or Irvin on that jet sweep. Defenses are still accounting for that. But at some point, some of that goodwill runs out a little bit. So I do feel like against the Bucs, it's not really a wrinkle, but I do feel like once or twice against the Bucs, we're likely going to see another one of those jet sweep pitches to Irvin just to establish that again, which then will open up more counters off of that. So those are a couple things I know I will be looking for against the Bucs.
Very cool. Let's see. Next up, we have got William Ledford wants to know the best way to pass the time during the bye week. Sarah, do you have big plans during the bye week?
Oh, no. I'm going to do absolutely nothing, which honestly, I'm really looking forward to. But something I did, you know, this weekend, since the game was on Monday, you know, Sunday was kind of weird because I'm like, oh, there isn't a game. I don't have to write a story. What should I do? And I just meal prepped for once. Usually I never have time to cook, or I'll like start and then I'm like, I don't have any more time to do this. But Sunday for half the day, I just made food for the whole week from all different varieties. And it's been nice not to have to cook at all this week. So that's something I would suggest, to maybe pass some time, and then you have food for the week and you're nice and fed and full for the game on Sunday. So that would be my suggestion for how to pass time during the bye week. And, you know, I had like the other games on in the background, since I don't care about them as much as Green Bay, but you know, I still was curious about what happened. So just kind of had that on the TV while I was making a bunch of food. So that'd be what I do. I think I'm going to do that again.
Yeah. Yeah. And mine would be, you know, I got a couple different things. I got one football related, one non-football related. So the Bucs are playing the Bears this Thursday. So watch that game and just see what you can pick up. You know, it's the only game going to be on. It's not competing for anything. You know, I assume maybe there'll be some playoff baseball or something, but you can watch that as well or put that on in the background. But watch that game and see what you can pick up. And if you haven't already, you know, maybe get Game Pass. Game Pass, I think, does a 7-day free trial still. And if you feel like digging into the All 22, into the coaches film, watch that game and then get a free 7-day trial of Game Pass. Watch the All 22 over the weekend and just see what you can pick up. What's something you're interested in? Just try to pick up something that may be like, oh, well, the Packers may try to look to exploit this, or the Bucks like to do this. And it's you know, it's a little in depth, but if you've got time and feel like doing that for the advanced matchup, go ahead and do that. That might be a little fun. Just try to pick up just some little tidbit you didn't know before. And the other thing you could do, because it's October, it's getting cold, it's spooky season, man. Find a pumpkin somewhere, you know, I don't know where, on the side of the road, maybe wear a mask and go to a pumpkin patch for a little bit. However it is.
There are a lot of pumpkins on the side of the road in Kentucky.
All the time, Steve. They're everywhere. Get a pumpkin, man. Carve a pumpkin. Find a spooky movie. And just have a get some hot apple cider and then dump a little bit of Fireball on that. Or what was your thing, Steve? The hot cocoa and peppermint schnapps. Yeah, just do something that cool. have a nice little spooky day. Watch a horror movie, carve a pumpkin, and just as Sarah said, just kind of enjoy the week off, man. Just relax a little bit because you don't have to live and die with the team this week.
I love how you think it's cold enough for us Florida folks to do that.
Well, it's probably what, like 60 for you? That's coat weather, isn't it, Sarah?
No, it's like in the 70s and 80s still, but we gross. Had 2 days jeez. Last week where it dropped down to like 68 one or two ugh. Days, and that was just like the best day ever. Like I worked half the day outside, and then I like walked out on my patio the next day and I'm like, I'm going to work outside again today. And it was just like, the humidity is back. So we are still far from cold days.
We had to turn the heat on because it dropped below 40 at night.
Yeah,
we've been in the same boat.
If I could, so.
Let's see, for this week, I mean, I think Dusty kind of stole mine. We actually, with the game on Monday night, masked up and with a couple of friends went and did some pumpkin picking and things like that. And they had a little, not petting zoo, but they had a little zoo where like little baby goats and stuff like that. So that was a lot of fun. You know, you get to judge people that aren't wearing masks. So, you know, you get to have your own fun. And they had little, for the kids, they had pumpkin bowling. So that was a good time where the kids got to just throw pumpkins at bowling pins. I mean, very humorous, I think, at best. But we did that. And then, you know, you've got all the stuff to take home with the kids and they get all excited. So I think we'll probably do something along those lines. Some sort of fall activity, as my wife likes to say, the fun fall activities of like going to an apple orchard, doing the apple picking, that kind of stuff. So we'll definitely try to do that as safe as humanly possible. Next up, we've got Elijah Robb, who wants to know, what do you enjoy the most about this year's team? Sarah, we'll start with you. We all think that there's probably going to be some overlapping here. So,
yeah, I just love the vibe that this team brings to the table. I've always loved watching the Packers, and I have for years now, but this year, and not just because they're winning, I mean, sure, that helps, but it just seems like the team, both on and off the field, is having a great time together, and it's so much fun to watch that. I mean, yes, I love watching the game on Sundays or, you know, Mondays or Thursday, whenever that is, but even just every day, like following them on social media and seeing what the team is posting and them in these media Zoom sessions, it's just so much fun. And I think they're absolutely making the most of what they have. They're grateful to, you know, be playing in this kind of environment. And I love it. And I think honestly, the, you know, vibe and just the mood that they bring to the locker room every day is why they're winning, is why they're playing so well. So I'm really enjoying just watching this team be exactly, you know, who they are. Personalities come out that, you know, we haven't always seen before. And I think it's great. And, you know, I think Matt LaFleur is a huge proponent of that. He is, you know, probably a major reason why this locker room has kind of come to life in the past, you know, year or so. And I love it. And it just has to be my favorite part of this year's team.
Yeah, I mean, all of that, they've been tremendously fun. I know for me, one of the big things has been, we talked all offseason. You know, last year the Packers were a 13-3 team, and based on score differential, it was more like a 9 or 10 win team or something. And all projections kind of reflected that. Everyone projected them to be, an 8 or a 9 win team, and projections usually are a little conservative anyway, but just based on what they did last year. And I know there was a whole lot of, you know, upheaval and among Green Bay fans of, oh, well, blah, 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 you know, they won 13 games last year. Like, yeah, but you have to understand, like, score differential matters and how they play matters and all that stuff. They got lucky last year, and it's okay to admit that. And so all offseason it's been this, okay, I think they can be a better team this year. That was the common refrain. I know I'd been saying that as well, was I think they can be a better team this year. It's year two of LaFleur's offense. They clearly didn't pick a wide receiver in the draft, but they trusted in their own guys to kind of make some of those, at least some mini jumps, even within the scheme or just as players in general. And so that was all offseason, was it's year two of LaFleur's system. These guys are a little more comfortable. You just hope that was going to, you know, be enough. That was going to take over for the fact that they didn't add, you know, a ton of that, you know, talent in the draft or whatever. And just seeing that come to fruition, seeing what year two in LaFleur's system has been, seeing a guy like Tanyan, who was a college wide receiver turned tight end, and seeing him catch three touchdowns. I think the stat was 5 touchdowns on the year. Not only does he lead all tight ends in touchdowns this year, he equaled Jimmy Graham's entire production over 2 years over the first 4 games this year. So seeing a guy like that, who like for years was just, it's a guy to dream on, just break out. Seeing Aaron Jones doing what he's doing, seeing Jamal Williams in year two getting a bigger role, just like all of these little things that over the offseason, I know just from an offensive standpoint, that we kind of hoped were going to happen. And like, well, LaFleur had a 13-win season, and you hope that that carries over. You hope that with another offseason, you can install that. Just the confidence, just as comfortable as Rodgers looked, as good as they look on offense, all that stuff coming to fruition and just like cruising to 4 wins. Just, it seems like at times just cruising and just doing whatever they want to do. I think that just that whole offseason of wondering what was going to happen and hoping this is going to do, it's been tremendous to watch that come to fruition. So for me, I mean, they've been really fun to watch. The vibe's been amazing, but just watching LaFleur's vision and watching all these guys buy in and what that means on offense has just been just tremendous to watch.
Do you want to talk about the dancing part? I've come up with a new thing, so you can keep expanding on that.
Yeah, man, I love the. I mean, just it's a little goofy, you know. They got the little dance cam in the end zone now, and just Rodgers being goofy as all hell. 2 weeks ago he had the little wave. This week he had the very late flex, and then Bakhtiari. I feel like Bakhtiari was mocking him because he had a little wave this week as well. That was like a mirror image of Rodgers. But yeah, just, you know, all those guys kind of celebrating together and just being super, super goofy. And again, that kind of carries over from that whole vibe thing. Just the fact they're having fun. There's just a lot of smiles. Everyone seems to be enjoying themselves. I love seeing Rodgers on that cam, man. Well, and now it's 2 weeks in a row. It's been the Jamal Williams show before and during. Just him dancing in front of that cam during free game workouts has been tremendous. So yeah, just big, big fan of all that stuff.
Yeah, I think that was we all kind of had that same overwhelming feeling of just, you know, they're all having fun. It's a great time. Rodgers dancing like the D train after a sack, after a fumble, whatever they're doing, they're all going and having a lot of fun. Like, that's awesome. I actually, while we were talking about this, I came back to a tweet I put out last night when the Packers defense gave up a score and then the game was within 10 points, I believe, 10 or 11. And I tweeted out that this Packers team is different than last year. I fully expect them to go down the field for a touchdown and put this game out of reach. And I think that's the biggest thing that I love about this team is last year, if this would have happened, you know, like the defense gives up a touchdown, all of a sudden it's kind of, you start to worry a little bit. Packers would have settled for a field goal. The game would have been tight. It would have been something you had to worry about. that's not the feeling at all this year. This year, you feel they, like, you just have that confidence that they're going to go down, they're going to score, and they're going to do what they want. It's not like they're going to get lucky. It's going to be, this is what we're going to do to you. I know, you know, this is what we're going to do to you, and you're still not going to be able to stop it, which is just a really fun feeling, especially coming from years and years and years of the Mike McCarthy, like, beating your head up against the wall of, like, no, our wide receivers are better. They're just going to beat the route. And that's, you know, cool, man. We don't have those wide receivers anymore. Now, to the point of, like, hey, let's get these guys into open positions, and they'll do a lot better. So, yeah, it was, I think that's the biggest takeaway for me, is this team is different than it was last year. And last year was a really good team. This is a better team. So I'm loving that aspect of it. We did get one late submission. Actually, we'll get some reflection from you guys, but this is from Haru Spectacle. Spectable, yeah, okay. At this point, I don't even know what pieces you could remove from our offense to actually slow it down. My question is, can you please explain to me why LaFleur is so amazing? And I mean, my immediate response is, when you're that handsome, it's just like the play calling, the head coaching, it just flows right out of you. Like, there's nothing else that needs to be said. Like, you just, when you're that good looking and you're that handsome of a man, just, I can be an NFL head coach too.
Yeah, that's basically it.
I think Dusty and Sarah have reached their limit of tiredness.
No, I mean, it's again, it's that illusion of complexity, and I hate it because I feel like it's an overused term at this point, but it's not. I mean, it really is. You look at what he does, you look at what they run, and they run so much. They run, and I've talked about this a lot, but it's dual. You can run the same exact thing out of multiple looks, or you run different things out of the same look. I mean, and he does such a good job with that. We've seen the effect of play action, and I talked about this a little last week. I know, actually, I think I tweeted about it. Actually, I don't know if I talked about it here, but I mean, the recent studies have shown that you don't have to be successful in the run game in order for play action to be successful. You just have to show a willingness to run out of certain looks, and we saw that last week specifically when they did not run all that well, but play action was just absolutely hammering. They were just hammering as play action against the Saints, and the same thing today. I mean, the running game was going well today, but they're using play action, and the looks they're running some of this stuff out of are looks that they will run out of. And so the linebackers, I mean, you know, I've talked about the Tanyan completion quite a bit, the first one, and that holds here. I mean, that was a result of basically the backside linebacker biting on play action because a look they've run out of multiple times before, and Tanyan going past him, and then the guy just could not recover in time to stop the completion. So he just does such a good job of, like, he talked about it, I think maybe his first press conference, tying the run game to the pass game and making things look the same and making different things look the same and making the same things look different. And he's done, especially in year two, done such a good job of that. And again, everyone's bought into that. And so I think just he's got, and they've got the talent as well. I mean, it doesn't really, the scheme doesn't mean anything unless you've got talent. So, I mean, even with Devontae missing, you know, you had, you know, again, Tanyan, who's kind of ready for his ascension, and Jones, and then Williams taking that step. Like, you've got those guys, and you've got the right guys in the right positions. You've got, you know, last year it was, you had MVS for the speed, and that was it. I think Irvin opens that up a lot. You've got enough speed to make them respect that, then you can run some other concepts off that. So they just have a whole lot of pieces that complement exactly what LaFleur wants to do, even with Adams out. So, I mean, that's probably a long answer, but I know it's a long answer. But I mean, that's the basis of it. He does really, really good. And he's grown so much as a play caller. I mean, that's the big thing for me. Like, he's, last year, I know he struggled a little bit as the game went on. He's gotten so much better as a play calling, feeling out that game, getting the feel of the script, what the defense is trying to do, and then hitting something that absolutely will kill them later, or being very, very good in the second half. Like, his growth as a play caller, I feel like probably doesn't get talked about a lot, but he's just absolutely been killing it this year, man. But also the handsome thing.
Mm-hmm. I think that's way more important.
I think it is too, Stu.
The thing that I honestly really admire about, you know, him and his coaching style is just how unapologetic he is, right? Like, he had no head coaching experience prior to joining Green Bay. He's a young coach. You know, a lot of people question this hire and, you know, why he was the right fit. And I think he just tuned all of that out. He knew that he's a smart guy. He knew that he has the potential to be a great coach. And he really just went all in with this team. And I think, you know, when you're young, when you don't have a lot of experience, but you have the talent and you have the right skill set, and, you know, this is for any job in any industry, not just football. You know, you walk in the room and you're confident in your game plan and what you have, and people will buy into that and people will follow you. And I think that's exactly what has happened with LaFleur. And I really love that from him, you know, from his first, you know, media availability with, you know, reporters on the Packers beat. He's always been unapologetic about who he is. I think he's never afraid to admit, you know, areas where he maybe can still improve on. And I think that's really important quality to have as a head coach. And that's something that I'm really glad that, you know, we have in a head coach at the Green Bay Packers. So really just love what he's bringing to the table, how he's doing it on his own terms and his own way. And I'm excited to see what happens. I think he's definitely in coach of the year talk already this year.
Yeah, definitely. All right. I think that should wrap it up, guys. I mean, Packers 4-0 going into the bye. I think we've covered every question that we possibly can. So let's hit some final thoughts there. Dusty, I know you look tired. Like, how many articles do you have? Like 17, 20? What's the number this week?
I've got my normal three, but Monday really throws me off, man, because the film didn't get available until like about an hour ago or something. So it's the Monday's throwing me off. But yeah, I've got my normal three, and then I've been trying to do a live stream here and there. So who knows if that'll pop up. So I've got, I can't remember when it's coming up. It's today or tomorrow over on Cheesehead. The Passing Chronicles I'll be doing, and that's I'm still trying to figure out. Again, I've not gone through all of it yet exactly what I'm going to do, but I think I'm going through basically Tanyan's day. I think he was 6 for 6, and so going through all of his targets and then a handful of other plays as well. So that should be fun, just kind of looking at and digging into some of that. And then today over on Packer Report, I've got my favorite pressure, which last year kind of fell into a habit at some point during the midpoint of the season. I realized, like, oh, this is three articles in a row, and it's nothing but Za'Darius Smith, just being Za'Darius Smith. And thankfully, I think I'm getting back to that this week. You know, as Sarah said earlier, he's kind of a quiet start of the season, and he was just a monster this past week. So I've got 4 or 5 Za'Darius plays I'm going to be looking at. That was just a tremendous amount of fun. There was a couple times I almost felt bad for the guy across from him, because there's one where it's like a tight end is coming out of the formation to block him, and Za'Darius just absolutely murders the man. I felt bad for him. So that'll be today, and then Friday – still trying to figure out what I'm doing Friday, but I think I'm going to be looking at Jamal Williams' day. I think 8 for 8, if I'm not mistaken, in the receiving game. Some of those were shorter, but they did do some vertical shots with him as well. So just kind of seeing how they used him, kind of how he looked in that. So, and like I said, maybe a live stream at some point. But, going into the bye, man, they heck of a game to go into the bye. I mean, just a tremendous performance from the offense. A lot of really fun stuff to dig into.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to be off this week, which is great. Some time to rest. I hope you guys all rest as well. And then I'll be back, you know, when the Packers are back, I'll be back with my recap. So appreciate all the love on that lately. You guys have been great, you know, sending in some of your takeaways. And I love including those in the story, including you, Steve. So it's been a lot of fun. And, you know, as always, if you guys want to talk, especially, you know, with the off week, sometimes, you know, a Packers game is a great way to just think about other things. But, you know, if you need time to just talk or decompress and vent about anything, my DMs are open. I'm here, and let's chat. So hope everyone has a nice restful bye week.
And I will continue to hammer the points home of voting and wearing a mask. I mean, a lot of you that listen to this are in Wisconsin, and it's super important, number one, for the mask, because it's crazy around here right now with the outbreaks going on. And if we all want to go back and watch Packers football, which I would love to do, and take my daughter to her first game ever, I would love to do that. So let's all just stop arguing politically about it and just put a piece of cloth over your face and just be done with it. That would be cool. And then, yeah, again, just make sure you're registered to vote, absentee ballot, figure out where you need to be voting November 3rd. Whatever way you're voting, it doesn't matter, but just make sure you take advantage of that right that you have for living here. I think it's a really, really important thing. And then, yeah, besides that, it'll be a fun little bye week. Dusty will have you put out the thing on Twitter so we can figure out what our penalty will be for the loser of the prop bet. I think that'll be a fun little thing throughout this week. So, Sarah, be on call for that one. Technically, you're only like one game off, so it's not that big a deal. But no, that'll be a lot of fun. So, again, thank you guys for listening. We always love all the interactions. And, again, thank you for the questions. Always so much fun to answer and figure out exactly what you guys want to talk about and hear about. So please, whenever we put out the call for it, please send more questions. We always love them. So we will talk to you next week. Actually, we should hopefully have a guest to break down some Bucks, Packers Bucks stuff. Who is this guy again, Sarah?
Yeah, it's my friend, Bailey Adams. So I'm waiting, to confirm if he can, come and record with us next week, but he said he should be able to. He just had to double check, but he writes for Bucks Nation on the side from his full-time job, so he kind of does a very similar thing that Dusty and I do, writes articles on the side, does podcasts on the side, and then he works during the day. But I'm going to be hopping on his podcast next week to talk about Packers, so I was like, hey, why don't you hop on our podcast and chat a little bit? So hopefully he'll be able to join us too.
So, yeah, make sure you tune in for that. That'll be great to get some extra information on the Bucks defense versus the Packers offense. So that'll be a lot of fun. And, we'll be back next week. Make sure to follow us again at Twitter at Dusty Evely, at Sarah Kelleher 4, at Steve Perrach, and at Packaday Podcast. And, as always, go Pack, go!